This hour of Overdrive is powered by FanDuel. FanDuel, bringing you everything from the opening line to the final score.
All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 on your home smart speaker up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Day 5 for us here at Oakdale, the RBC Canadian Open. Great to see you guys again.
Great to see you.
Great
too.
To see you guys.
You better be careful today because the fellas are back there and they are getting into it and they are heavily involved today.
Yeah, this is
danger
really
zone.
Yeah, very
an
dangerous.
Active area of the golf course right now. And right. I would say heavily served and borderline polluted part of the city of Toronto. Yeah.
If you remember last year, the Friday is where it started. People took the Friday off work.
Exactly.
They're cheering, chanting, beers are flowing, well, and they're ready to rock.
Harry Higgs came right through.
Harry Higgs, 6 under.
The big rig Harry Higgs, he just came through the hockey hole, and everyone's loud. Everyone loves Harry Higgs,
yeah.
And he loves them now because he's playing well.
Right.
If Harry was 6 over, he would basically
would be
like, I don't want to hear a peep.
Yeah.
But he went to the crowd and said, fire it up. Get loud. They got loud for him. I think he threw a dart in there. Harry Higgs in a great spot. He's a big personality. And Harry can feed off a crowd like this.
That was the Happy Gilmore. He gave, like, let's have a little atmosphere.
Let's get a little bit louder here.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's the way, I think that's what they're hoping for. And it's on the players to make that determination if they want that.
Right.
But you're right. Thursday, tough to get off work. If you do, you probably have an understanding you're going back on Friday. Today, like Friday afternoon, is Florence Central.
Yeah.
At a sporting event like this, where the weather is really starting to come around. It's beautiful out now. Probably into the weekend. I've seen a couple of people out here that basically had suits on. Like, they probably worked half a day, then they came up.
I saw some guys in zebra outfits on TV this morning at 10 a.m.
Getting after it.
Getting after it with tall boys. And I saw them live here half an hour ago.
Yeah.
And they are going the distance.
They're still around. I had a stop and chat with a bunch of guys around the fourth green. This would have been around 1:30. And the one guy, he had been boozing for a long time.
For a lifetime.
And he said, I'm like, so you having a good time? He's like, yeah, I'm off the beers, though. Thinking, okay, you're going to take it easy.
Waters.
And he goes, I'm on vodka now.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay.
Put you over
That's
the
a
edge.
Good transition. That'll probably slow you down once you ease into the afternoon. If you're at the end of the beer train at 1:30 in the afternoon and you're leaning into vodka at that point, you have big plans on a Friday afternoon.
Big time.
Anyway, it's awesome to be out here. It's always a bit of a bittersweet day for us because we put in the whole week, and it's been a blast the whole time. We appreciate all the hospitality, everyone from Golf Canada, RBC Canadian Open, Oakdale, everyone at TSN getting us set up. But it's going to be a fun one today.
Yes.
Right? We got McIlroy still coming through. We got a bunch of Canadians still coming through, and it's going to be wild here on the 14th tee.
I love the fact that Connors is right there. Like,
yeah,
there's
he
just is. To me, there's an opportunity here. I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, but if he's right there on Sunday, wouldn't that be nice? Like, wouldn't that kind of be a cherry on top
Absolutely.
To finish the week?
Absolutely.
You know?
You need that. Like,
yeah.
you need big names to get into the weekend.
Yeah.
That's what you're hoping for. You want to see the McIlroys and the Fitzpatricks get in. You want to see a Sam Burns get in, Thigala get in.
You were raving about Yuan.
Yeah, so Carl, who is sitting atop the leaderboard, he's at 9 under. By all accounts, this guy's got the funkiest swing on tour.
Dude, I saw it on the Corn Ferry.
Type
I
of
saw
swing?
It
Basically.
On the Corn Ferry last year. It is some action, and he said, I'm not moving away from it. It's working. He won the Corn Ferry. Like, he was top dog on the Corn Ferry
right.
last year.
Oh, he's a stud, man. He's 9 under. He shot 5 under today. Like, he is well into the weekend feeling very good.
It's just the delivery that looks a little bit weird, correct?
By
works
all
for
accounts.
Him.
But that's the
him.
Thing.
That's
like
the crazy thing about sports, man. It doesn't matter how it looks.
Right.
Does it work?
It's all about what you get done. But if the process looks ugly, don't you think, like, there's golf swing coaches out there going, oh, I can't even look at that. Can't even look at that.
But that's where it gets dangerous because
right?
then you start messing around with the mechanics and you lose
right.
whatever you had. You know, it's the same thing with, like, a batter. You step up to the plate, it may look funky, but if you're hitting 300 and getting on base,
yeah.
why would you change it?
For these guys, it doesn't matter what goes on through the backswing or anything. It's this much distance. It's a foot and a half. right behind the ball, through the ball, and that's all that matters.
Yep.
We've been watching them for 5 days. They pure it every single time. Might be a little bit left, might be a little bit right, but
right.
They're dialed in every shot.
Yep. That's why they're on the tour. I mean, that's exactly who they are, and that's what you would expect. And my boy Nick Taylor's 4-under today. He's now 1-under for the tournament. It looks like projected cut is 1-under. So we'll track that all day. Sam Burns is at even par. He's already in the clubhouse. So he's going to straddle that. But, you know, as for the big boys, we'll see. Tommy Fleetwood's 2-under. Mike Weir's 2-under and in the clubhouse. He makes the cut. That's awesome.
First time since 2014. GD was just talking about that, how great it is for Mike Weir.
That is awesome. Mike Weir playing into the weekend. Roger Sloan, Stuart McDonald, Taylor Pendrith, Will Bateman. You got Corey Connors. You got Adam Hadwin. A lot of Canadian flags
so,
that are going to be playing into the weekend. So that's great.
I know you had your picks. Do you guys want one redo maybe later?
I think that's
like maybe one like
one more tailor-made pick at the end of the week where we can say, you know what, we're going to grab that guy going into the weekend.
Yeah, just like a pickup. Yeah.
I like that.
I
got to
replace my guy, Matt Hughes. I think he missed the cut, and I got to replace him. He'll be back at the U.S. Open.
Yes, he will.
Strong finish.
That's right. Okay, yeah, that's a great call, Noodles. We'll do that a little bit later
on. Yeah, just be nice to kind of give a little love to add somebody into the mix.
Yep. For sure. Okay, so we'll do that. We got a big one coming up today. Our boy Struddy's coming up. Jason Strudwick will join us looking back on Game 3 of the Cup Final where the Florida Panthers are resilient. And like watching that game last night, about 57 and a half minutes into it. I'm thinking Vegas has just played a perfect game here. Like a perfect road game where you're up 2-0 in the series. They gave nothing up to Florida.
Yeah, nothing. Feathers.
And credit Paul Maurice for an early pull, too. He got just 6-on-5 quick, which is probably the right play anyway. Like, analytically, right. They say do it earlier. You might as well go for it.
Yeah.
Because he had nothing. Like, there was it never felt like Florida was going to get back in that game.
And their power play stinks
right now.
It was
terrible. They were 0-for-5 last night. Way too many penalties being called in the cup
final. And for the Vegas Golden Knights, that's how they started to chip away at the Boston Bruins, just to play like that. If you can remember the pulled goalie, the overtime goals, like they were hanging on for dear life, and they ultimately pulled it off. But the next game, I don't know if they can continue to rely on Bob, Matthew Tkachuk heroics. I mean,
Verhaeghe, the same thing. He's been great.
Verhaeghe with big-time goals. They have to show Vegas something and try to dominate a hockey game and say, this is what we got, actually. Instead of hanging on for dear life, and Noodles, you always refer to it as getting one.
Yeah.
Like, they got their one. But if they want to be serious in this series, I think they got to have a game. Like, can they seriously hang on for dear life with great goaltending and opportunistic play from those players that we mentioned and get it done again? I don't know if they can do it against Vegas.
I would like to see a game. We've seen multiple times where Vegas has just taken control of a game and they just don't look back. It's picture perfect hockey. We haven't seen that from Florida. It's been a lot of like hanging around. The goaltender makes big saves, big timely goals. I don't know if we've seen a full 60 from Florida where it was they dictated the pace. They were the ones who dominated. Doesn't mean we've seen them win games. Don't get me wrong. But there were times in those games where it's like, Bobrovsky just made 3 unreal saves. And, we're going to go the other way. And, yes, you get a timely goal or timely play. But I don't want to say Florida has more to give. They've got more consistency to give.
Yes.
That's the one thing.
Absolutely. I mean, that has been a carbon copy for them. A lot of times throughout the playoffs, like Tkachuk scores late, place goes nuts, Verhaeghe finds a way to, and Bob stands on his head.
Yeah, that's the
formula. And that's it. It's like Bob, Tkachuk, Verhaeghe, Bob, Tkachuk, Montour, Bob, Tkachuk, Barkov.
I know, it's like, it doesn't sound like a lot to say, can they do it 3 more times, but it's a big ask.
It's
man.
A big ask, but they have been doing, they've already got to, 13 wins now?
Yeah.
Like, and not all of them were in the same vein, but a lot of it has been similar.
And then almost didn't have Tkachuk. That was a big collision.
Well,
he left and came back, right?
Like, he wouldn't indicate what was going on there. I think we all know what was going on there.
Look, we love and respect the intensity and the jam of a player to show up back in a hockey game, but how are we going to take it seriously when they have these serious, whether it be a documentary or someone talking to players that have dealt with concussions, and 10 years after they retire, all the problems that they're going with, how is it ever going to be taken seriously? You saw the Eichel hit and the Matthew Tkachuk hit, and they both returned to the hockey game. How is that even possible? Like, don't don't tell me this spotter is actually doing his job going in there and saying, oh, are you okay? Oh, yeah, you go back out there. I have a ton of respect for it because they want to win so much and they're gamers and they want to go back out there. But let's not pretend that this is being taken seriously by the league.
No.
It's not. It's a joke.
I think it's a joke. I think the Eichel one was different because he was winded. I think Eichel, that's what the response you got was he got winded.
Dude, every single guy is going to say, I just got winded.
Well, that's true. But again, his reaction when he got up and the way he was looking, that was my initial reaction was not it was a head issue. Last night, when you get up and then you fall again, I think most people look at it and say, okay, something's going on there.
Well, right. That's my point. The concussion guy is going to take it
right.
seriously.
Well, he played
you
a
watch
shift.
That. You watch that and say, he is not going back in this hockey game.
He played a shift because it went on the power play, and then they pulled him.
Right.
And then enough time goes. You go to the quiet room, you get reassessed or whatever. Sometimes you get your bell rung and you're able to come back. Sometimes you're not. I get it. It's just everything is different. And we're going to see this until the end of time, until they take body contact out of the game, which they're not going to. So
you're still going to have collisions.
You still have to have, a layer protecting you. I do believe the doctors got to him. I don't think he should have been able to go out right away onto the power play. I think he got pulled after that. But ultimately, he scores the game-tying goal.
Right.
And, we'll see how
I think the
wakes
way,
up today.
And you'll never get a clear-cut answer on this. Is and what I think... The sports world has concluded and the real world has concluded that head injuries are separate from every other injury conversation, right? Like the answer he gave after the game was, well, it's a cup final that came back. If you pop your shoulder out and you come back, that's the cup final,
right?
If you're playing on one leg, you broke your ankle, but I'm going to play through it,
right. That's
the cup final. Head injuries have to be treated differently, but they're very difficult, to diagnose in the moment. You have to rely on the player to give you consistency. I guess what I would say is, would he have returned in November, right?
Right.
We won't get that answer, and it's technically a hypothetical. But that is what needs to happen in pro sports, in hockey, in football in particular. You can't come back because it's the Super Bowl if you wouldn't come back week three.
Right.
Right.
Thank
like
you very
with
much.
A head injury.
The consistency.
Right? Exactly.
Right?
Shoulder, everything else, that's up to the player.
Shoot it up, do whatever.
Yes, but a head injury... You can't have moving goalposts. I don't believe you can.
No.
I don't think you should. And listen, Tkachuk still went out there. He played. He adds to this storybook that he has been writing here.
That's right.
The
and
heroics
everyone
of it all.
In the hockey world will talk about it as that's a gamer. That's yeah, a
absolutely.
Guy that plays for keeps and blah, blah. And that's how we'll talk about it because he is a gamer. He's tough and all that. But don't tell me this concussion spotter, whoever this turkey is, that goes into the room and says, oh, you good to go back out? Give me a break. Anyone that watches that with half a brain says that's it for tonight. If they're going to take it seriously and act like that quiet room is to protect the player and be safe, blah, 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 it's just not happening.
It's just
not even close.
It is difficult to decipher exactly what happened.
Do you remember early on when a guy got hit and a goalie ran over, quiet room, gone for the game, see you later, and now it's just whatever the player says, he goes back out there.
I don't think you want that, though. You don't want an extreme where someone – can objectively sit in the stands and say that player can't play anymore because I saw something or I don't like there. That's what makes it
difficult. I got to tell you, I would do the same thing as a player. I want to get back out there. I just don't want the NHL to come across and say the spotter guy is doing his job because that's nonsense.
Well,
it's just not doing your job.
It is every hit, every person is different. You see some guys get brushed on the chin and they're done. Other guys have leather skin or I don't know what they have. They just are able to absorb and give hits. They might just have a different makeup of their body. So you have to treat it. You have to treat consistently. I get what you're saying, the theory of it, but you could probably absorb a hit. Well, you can absorb a hit a lot different than I can. So, the concussion spotter is supposed to diagnose you, take a look. I remember, wasn't it in Toronto, Jonathan Quick got tapped? And he shook his head, and then the spotter took him out, and he went crazy. He's like, that wasn't me. Like, my mask was loose.
Right.
And he was arguing with them, going like, that wasn't a head injury. I'm fine. But,
and that's
again,
what makes it so difficult.
That was a November game. That wasn't Stanley Cup Finals.
Right. But so, it could happen, and that's what makes it difficult to interpret. Yeah, I don't think you can have a one-size-fits-all scenario where if you're into the room, you're gone. because that's just not fair to the players who were not actually concussed. But what makes it difficult is there are going to be players who are concussed who will talk their way out of it and get back on the ice.
That's the reality.
And then that puts everyone in a very difficult spot. And then that's where it gets to a point where the league, it's like, do you have everyone sign waivers at some point? And that's a completely different legal element that I'm not sure the PA would put up with.
Right.
But as we know, when you play sports, you understand there's an inherent risk. Like, you guys played it. You know when you step on the ice, you know what you're walking into.
Really?
Like,
dangerous.
The pro athletes, they're not stupid. They get it. They sign up for it. And they understand. They understand what comes with it.
That's why you get paid well.
That's in large part why you get paid well.
Yeah,
exactly. So Strutty's coming up in about 15 minutes. The Jays are back in action tonight. Another big win. I told you Berríos would do it again.
You were confident.
I told you Berríos would pitch well, and he pitched very well last night. And, like, this team's chugging. John Schneider was really happy with the execution all throughout the series because this is the crazy thing is Manoah was supposed to be the poster boy of this philosophy, but the philosophy of the Jays is clearly starting pitching. Like, that is what they've invested in. And he was a gas can earlier in the week, but then Gausman was great, Bassett was great, and Berríos was great.
Don't kid yourself, that affects Manoah too. When you go down there and you're in some complex practicing with somebody and all of a sudden the team is dialed in without you,
and the staff.
Run off three in a row without him against
the
Houston.
The pitching staff, that staff is dialed in without you. That's
right.
It's hard, but he's got to focus on him, and that's why I think they worded it properly saying, a couple rotations of starts, we'll see. There's no timeline on Manoah. I think what they have to do is figure out who's going in Manoah's spot.
Well, and they haven't made that announcement because it's going to happen tomorrow, right? Like, it's Kikuchi tonight, and then they got to figure out what they're going to do tomorrow. And they've reinstated Mitch White off the 60-day IL, and in large part because of the Anthony Bass situation. And if you're not familiar with what happened today, they've designated Anthony Bass for assignment, so he's out. And his Bass story has been hanging over the team all week. Again, they're coming off, not that it matters necessarily, but they're coming off a great weekend, and then they take 3 of 4 against Houston. And really, the bigger stories have been Manoah and Bass.
Yeah.
And what they're going to do with Bass and how they're going to handle Bass. And they've completely fumbled this from a PR standpoint because he hasn't.
Wasn't he out there catching the pitch?
He was supposed to catch it, which was one of the dumbest PR decisions I can ever recall from a team in this town because it's Pride weekend down at the Dome, and he was going to catch the ceremonial first pitch as, I guess, they were thinking some sort of
reconciliation.
Olive branch, maybe?
To me, okay, if that's your reasoning, fine. But the second I heard that, I'm like, that is such a stupid idea because it's not fair to whoever's throwing the pitch.
Right.
Bass has made his opinions clear. Okay, fine. Yeah. You've made your opinions clear. And he posted what he posted. And I think a large reason of why it took this long for them to finally designate him for assignment is because of the union we talk about all the time.
Right.
And possibly other people within the organization, I don't know if they share his views, but they might look at it and say, what if that's me someday that posts something that other people disagree with or what have you?
Right.
And it can be complicated regardless of how you feel about the subject matter.
Right.
But he's 35 years old. He's got a 4.95 ERA. They're not going to miss him.
Right.
But for it to go this long, Atkins comes out, goes, no, it's all, we're all good. We're moving in the right direction. And then the next day they cut him. It's just it's a silly, goofy week.
It was weird. Ross said, he goes, this is the first step in him kind of making good with this. It's not over yet. And then the next day he's gone.
The next day he's gone.
I think they probably just
further up the chain said, get this guy out of here.
Right or wrong? If that was Gausman, their ace right now, you probably might have to have a different conversation, right?
You couldn't explain it the way Atkins. Ross, I think, is in a difficult position here because I don't believe he makes a call on any of this stuff.
Right.
I think these are stories that Shapiro should be speaking about. I've talked about this in the past. When you have a very, very volatile situation like this and a topic that goes well beyond the diamond.
Right.
It should not be the GM that goes out there because this, I believe, would be a Shapiro topic. I believe ownership would be involved.
Right.
And Ross is going out there, and Ross is not overly comfortable at the best of times. They win 10 in a row. Ross isn't going to, the way he interacts with the media and all that, which is he doesn't have to be perfect.
Right.
But Atkins, in a situation like this, trying to explain it, where he's basically been given marching orders, this is what you have to say.
Right, right.
It's just going to lead to a massive amount of blowback. And this is how Atkins, Ross Atkins, about an hour ago, tried to explain the decision today to finally designate for assignment Anthony Bowes.
There's a myriad of variables. Performance is usually the driving one, and performance was a large aspect of this decision. Distraction was a small part of it, and you know, something that we had to factor in.
So now all of a sudden it's performance, and again, the guy's numbers are terrible. His wins above replacement are well into the
That's
minus.
That's what probably makes it easy for them, don't you think?
Well, because you can lean on that.
Exactly.
But he hasn't pitched in 4 days. He's pitched once in like two weeks.
Yeah.
So why all of a sudden?
Yeah, they probably could have made that decision.
Exactly. And
it's a butchering at all levels. Like, there's no other way around
well,
it.
Well, right. But you mentioned something to start. Like, this might have had to go up the chain.
Absolutely.
It had to probably go through a players union. And like I say, there are things here. This is this isn't stuff that we encountered as pro athletes because social media wasn't there, right?
Right.
Like when I was playing pro, like Twitter was just starting right at the end of my career. Like there were things, you know, social media and your private opinion basically was your private opinion. Now his opinion is public. It's on a big platform.
And he posted that.
And he posted. He's got to own that. That's
yeah.
on him.
Sure.
But ultimately, like, this is kind of the, you know, the newer world, we'll call it, where decisions, the things that you do on social media, the things that you do and the way you conduct yourself, there's ramifications.
Right.
And it probably had to go through a lot of channels to get to where we are today.
Right. And that can explain the timeline.
Right.
And I'm not sitting here shilling for the Jays or whatever, but it's never as easy as just get this guy out of here.
Right.
Like, that's not the way it works with the union in particular and with other players and other employees. Regardless of the content we're talking about
right.
or the subject matter that we're talking about, but no one's going to buy that this is performance-based when the guy's been terrible since the original post and he
right.
hasn't pitched in 4 days. It just
yeah.
it doesn't add up. But that's why Ross has got to go out there with the Cole's notes and just reiterate the same kind of stuff.
Right.
And I think Shapiro should have been out there speaking. I think it should have been Mark handling this because it's an issue that I believe goes above Ross Atkins.
Right.
I don't believe the GM has the power to make a move like this. And I believe it goes way further up the chain.
Yeah.
When it's something that doesn't include simply what's happening on the field, regardless of what they're saying, this should
right.
have been a Shapiro presser.
Yeah.
And we didn't hear from Mark today.
Yep.
Keegan Mathison will join us from the park ahead of the series tonight, start with Minnesota. He's coming up in about 45 minutes. Strutty will join us on Game 3 of the Cup Final last night. Your Columbus Blue Jackets.
Make
Everyone's buzzing
Are
about Columbus.
Are you buying now? We'll come back and we'll decide if you're buying or selling.
Buying or selling the Columbus Blue Jackets. Who would have thunk it?
You got to be a little bit kind of...
Impressed?
Yes.
I'll come back with my answer. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Overdrive continues, brought to you by FanDuel, bringing you everything from the opening line to the final score. We're live on 14. At Oakdale, where Rory McIlroy, Justin Rose, and Omar Uresti just rolled through.
Dude, Omar's my guy. But, man, does he stand over it.
Well,
Slomar Uresti.
Slomar Uresti is a tough handle, but this just happened. So we're at 14, which is the rink hole up here at Oakdale, RBC Canadian Open. Incredible scene. So many people. Everyone's fired up. It's
yeah.
right behind us here, if you can see it on TSN 2.
Yeah, Rory just hit like 20 feet away from us.
Just saw McIlroy come through. Massive ovation. Justin Rose, massive ovation.
I saw him give O a thumbs up.
I thought I saw that too, actually. And then Omar Uresti, who gave Noodles a thumbs
yeah,
up.
Yeah, of course. That's my guy.
He's standing over the ball, and he hears something and steps off, and the place just buries him.
I know. That
like
was
they're
tough.
Like, boo, hit the ball. Who do you think you are? And then I saw him walking up. He went up to Rose, and Rosie gave him like a little tap. He's like, it's all good, man.
Yeah.
Like, let's just wrap this up. You can get in the bird. Like, he's trunk slamming in about an hour and a half.
But, dude, he put the club down and did the Jack Nicklaus head tilt, and then he eye screwed it for about 4 minutes. He was doing some eyeball stuff.
Yeah, that can't happen with McIlroy and Rose. You can do that in a different group where there aren't that many people around. You cannot be prime time and taking your time like our boy Why didn't they pivot?
Once Webb Simpson pulled the pin, throw Corey Connors in that group.
He's already got his schedule. You know who I saw, actually, who was a late addition, was my boy Kevin Stadler.
He's looking good.
He looks phenomenal. He shoots right, putts left.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he absolutely does. That's what I heard today.
I bet you 500. So. I saw him yesterday out there. He does not putt
That's
left.
What I was told today, and I was told by a very good source. I saw him tee off on 10 yesterday. I was right beside him.
He hits a little butter cut stats.
And you saw
and
him.
He does not
you
putt
saw him
left
putting
now.
Left?
I've seen him with the broom right-handed for years.
All I can tell you is I was told today, courtesy
no,
of
no.
Very
someone,
good.
If someone has seen him out on this golf course putting left, I want Viz.
There's my boy Stats.
He loves it.
He was absolutely dialed in yesterday. So
I don't know.
Anyway, we'll find that out. All right, we'll get to a definitive answer. All right, Jason Shrudwick coming up here in a moment. Strutty, you going to join us here in just a moment? We'll get to the bottom of Strutty's coming on. Nobody knows at this point. We got him? All right, there he is. Our boy from TSN out in Edmonton, longtime NHLer. One of the legends of the Spengler Cup.
Yeah.
Jason Strudwick. What's up, Strutty?
Nice to see the cheers when I'm coming on. People are starting to get it. I'm a pretty big deal.
Strutty, we were wondering on the panel here, with your good friend Shane Doan working as an advisor and executive with the Maple Leafs, have you ever been asked by the Edmonton Oilers to be an advisor?
Well, if they want to win, it probably makes sense, right? But I'm pretty busy. I'm pretty busy coaching my own kids. We're looking after you three turd herders. I got a pretty big schedule, right? Yeah. Trying to get my handicap down below 10. Like, I got a lot going on right now. I can't be responsible for a whole organization.
Well, Strutty, I went back into the Kamloops Blazers stats, and all I saw was, I mean, Darcy Tucker, Jerome McGinley, Tyson Nash, and then went all the way down, and I saw Jason Strudwick put up a solid 14 points that season. I do believe you guys won, but he had 189 penalty minutes. Were you protecting them, or what was your deal?
No, I just hold everyone in my arms. You know, like I'm like, I got the whole world in my hands. I believe that's what they say about the Lord, right? I had everyone in my hands. Looking after old Tux, Ryan Huska, probably going to be the next coach of the Calgary Flames. Shane Doan, what has he ever accomplished? Yeah, he was in my arms. I was holding like a Tyson Nash, smaller guy, deep in my pocket. But I was just trying to help everyone get to where they wanted to go. You're welcome. If you look at the Jason Strudwick teammate tree, it's like Bill Belichick coaching tree of New England Patriots.
Yeah, the Strutty NHL championship tree. It is very, very extensive. And yeah. I love that. 14 points. That's not bad. That's probably
solid.
12 secondary assists. Very good. A good first pass to the neutral zone, Strutty, and boom, you're off. That's not
bad. If it counted third assists, I would have had 15 points that year.
Yes. Exactly. There you go. That's precisely what you needed. Well, what do you make of Shane Doan? That's your buddy. I mean, he's coming up here. He's going to be in Toronto. Like we said earlier this week, there aren't many markets where the assistant to the GM is famous just because of where they work, but everyone's going to be like, I wonder what Shane Doan's up to.
Strutty, you can give him your Marner jersey.
There you go.
My PJs. My PJs of Marner. No, you know what? It is true. I mean, you go from, you know, this is, and it's going to sound like a slight to Arizona, but honestly, no one really cares. Like, let's just call it as it is. You're accumulating draft picks. You're trying to get an arena that holds more people than the viewing party in Old Dog's house, right? Like, it's no one really cares. So now you're going to the market where everybody cares, and everyone knows what everybody's doing. They recognize the Shanna plan down to whatever level of, you know, kind of job you take. And so Shane Doan, you know, he's a longtime NHLer. He's paid his dues, whether it's with Arizona Coyotes. You know, he was out at the World Championships. He's been in different events. So he's kind of paid his dues. So now here he is with Toronto. And I know a lot of people are saying it's just to keep Austin Matthews happy. Yeah, I kind of get that. But I think it's got to be more than that. You know, it's not just for one guy. It's to try to get this team better and get them across the goal line. And the goal line, I'm guessing, is getting deeper into the playoffs. So I like this hire for Arizona Coyotes. I think Trey Living Records stand for its own. It's not perfect, but no GMs is perfect. But now you got Shane Doan in there, and he's got to figure out how he can help this team, because there's no hiding. There is no hiding. Arizona, there's hiding. No hiding in Arizona. But I still like the hiring for him, and I think what he can bring for this group.
Yeah. Listen, I mean, you obviously know him well. You're a buddy of his. You've known him for a long time. We had Mike Johnson on. Johnny's known him forever. Like, everyone reveres Shane Doan.
Yeah.
And it's never a bad idea to bring good people into your organization with a bit of a different viewpoint. And that's clearly what's going to happen. And we're waiting for the Leafs. I guess we're waiting for the Oilers to get involved in the action. There's a lot going on in the league. Columbus.
Yeah.
We had a heated debate about this. I can't believe we're talking about the Columbus Blue Jackets, because they're not far off what you said about the Arizona Coyotes, Strutty. But they're making moves, and they're bringing Babcock in. They picked up Provorov, and now Severson comes in on a sign-and-trade. He gets big money. O said earlier in the week he guarantees they make the playoffs next year. I thought that was an absolutely ridiculous take. But
even now?
I still don't think they make it. I still don't believe they make it. But where are you at, Strutty, with all these moves that are happening even during the Cup Final?
Well, Old Dog makes big talk. I love it. I love how he comes over the top with all the things like saying that salt and vinegar chips are better than ketchup chips. Like, he's outrageous. But, Old Dog, I'll ask you this question. Who is their number one centerman?
Strutty.
Kent Johnson.
Don't you try to embarrass me on my own show.
I'm not being rude. Old Dog, I asked you the same question about the Leafs D going into the playoffs. Who are their top four D? Like, and
it's either Kent Johnson going
to
be their number one centerman as of right now, or Boone Jenner. I don't know. That's what I got for you. Mm-hmm. And although you stop me in my tracks, Jason, but I just like the upgrades on D. I like their goaltending. Yeah. I think their coach is one of the best coaches in the game. But you're right. When you talk about a number one centerman,
I'm going to throw it out there. Boone Jenner's correct. Roslovic was the guy I was thinking, not Johnson. Johnson's a winger. I couldn't come up with his name, but yeah. So if you look
troublesome.
Goudreau, Jenner, Laine, Johnson, Roslovic, Marchenko. That Russian kid he scored 21 goals last year. He's a pretty good player. I think he was Cy Young, though. I think he was like 21 goals and like 4 assists.
Regardless,
that sounds
enough
right.
Blue Jackets talk. They're probably not making the
playoffs.
They're probably not making the playoffs,
so that's all we wanted to get to, Strutty.
It's like when I asked Noodles to wear some color. You know, he loves to wear black, gray, white. I mean, I don't know what he thinks he is. Like, put some color on. It's not going to kill your wife. Might like want to see you in something other than black, white, or gray. And so, like, I'm not trying to be mean. Like,
I'm black and gray right now. Are you watching TV? I'm wearing black and gray right now.
I know, it's not even fun. And then why do you do your tie so tight? It's like you're trying to choke yourself, like, to, like, say something interesting. Like, I don't get it. I don't know what I'm going to visit with you this summer. I don't know what your problem is, but we'll work through it this summer. But as far as Columbus, you know, they don't have a number one center. So if Austin Matthews is playing against Columbus, do you think he's like, oh, geez, I got Boone Jenner? No, or Connor McDavid, or, like, just go through the league. Like, you need guys slotted properly. And until they address that number one center, I can't agree with Ozark. I like the D. Like, trust me, I love D-men. It is nothing better than bringing in D-men and seeing them getting paid more than they're worth. But without a number one center, man, I can't get too excited, because who's given to Johnny and Liney? You know, he may as well put Brian Hayes back in his days with those Mississauga Wolfhounds or whatever they're called and put him in there.
Yeah, I was a pretty good center.
Very good player, him and Matt Stajan. But, Strutty, what do you make of the game last night? Florida seems to be they call them the cardiac canes, cats. They're hanging around, and they make a series of it. What do you make of it?
Yeah, well, you know what, they went all in, right? They went all in for that win, and you look at some of the injuries they're dealing with. I mean, Kachuk leaving the game. You've got the D-man too. I can't think of his name right now. Well, Gudas leaving, but Montour leaving as well, and they got that. But I want to focus on something right now. Like, why are we not reviewing some penalties? We review everything. We review if Carey Fraser's hair is okay, the offsides, the non-goal, but the Chandler Stephenson, how is that even called a penalty? How can you as a referee say, yeah, I could see that being a penalty? That could be not just a game-changing, that could be a series-changing call on that one. And
Hayes won't buy it, Strutty. Hayes thinks there's enough reviews. He doesn't want it. It's enough already, he says.
I don't want any reviews. I don't want any. But unfortunately, we've opened it up. Right now, we're looking at everything that happens. Like, but that cannot be a penalty call. I'm sorry. Like, in real time, I thought Barkov did something bad. Then in halftime, I'm like, oh, maybe it was the little Ford thing. And then I realized, I watched it in slow motion. I'm like, that is nothing. That's
terrible,
nothing. Call. And that could have been
terrible.
That could have been, that could be end. So I'm not blaming the refs, but let's like, let every ref have one, or sorry, every team have one reviewable call per game. Let's just do it. We already got it open. Why not? You know what I mean? Like, we review an old dog's wearing some bad clothes. Why can't we review it in game when someone's got something else going on?
We're all sitting up here with dark colors, too. I'm in all black. I was in black. It's like, honestly, a funeral home here. We're at a golf tournament.
Dude, it's slim fitting. Figure it out.
It is slim fitting. I didn't say we didn't look good. I just said we're all, you know, not necessarily splashing with color here. I hear what you're saying, Strutty, but the problem with that is that's what got us into this issue. Is once you open the door to that, then it'll be, well, we'll just want a period. And then it'll be, well, why not every 10 minutes? Like,
right.
if you keep allowing the rope to get longer, they're just going to keep going more and more with it in terms of review. I personally can't stand. I thought it was an awful call. I think what you what should happen is you expect the refs to get it right. It's not always going to happen, but you got to live with the result. But the amount of power plays last night.
Yeah.
0-for-5 in Florida. Vegas was 2-for-6.
And, hey, as you
like,
always
that's
say,
wild.
There's a human element to it, and it's part of the game. And you got to chew on it. Sometimes
that's right.
It doesn't go your way, man.
Exactly. And guess what? They didn't lose the game. It was an awful call, but Verhaeghe still wanted an OT, so it doesn't matter now looking back on it.
Yeah, I don't know. We opened the door. It's too late. I think once you open the door, it's too late, man. Like, I like the human element. I think O-Dog used that word. I like that. Like, how long till we see robot umpires
AI?
In baseball?
Yeah,
just to
it's
get
coming.
It right. We gotta get it right. We gotta make sure every strike is right in the middle. Like, I just, it drives me crazy. And then, but human error is the part. Like, the coaches make mistakes. Goalies make a lot of mistakes. I mean, geez, lift your glove hand, you know. And then, D-men don't make many. Centers, old dog, you know what I'm talking about. You're all over the ice. But, like, let's allow that. So let's just let all happen or nothing happen. But now, if we're gonna start, we can't go halfway. We're either in or we're out. And so I think we got to get one review per game. That's what I'm willing to do. Like, O-Dog, I know you have more than one breakfast ball. I've talked to guys who played this. You're at 2 or 3 breakfast balls when you hit it. So why not one for a ref?
Well,
I'm only a one piece, bro.
You're only a one piece.
I'm a traditional one piece.
I like
and
that
a lot of time is not needed.
With Jason Strudwick. Well, we talked about robotic umps and AI, I think, artificial intelligence, and there's belief that that's coming in sports. Like, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, you're going to see, you know, an AI version of past great players, you know, playing. Do you expect that to happen with you, Strutty, in 30, 40 years, an AI version of Jason Strudwick in his prime playing back in the NHL?
You know what? I have a pretty big ego. I don't think it'll happen for on the ice. But off the ice, oh yeah. They'll have me in there. They'll have me in there after. Like, just a little extra dippity-do. We used to use dippity-do to get her right.
Right.
I came out of that dressing room, buddy. Honestly, I looked good. Like Gordon Gekko in Wall Street. I was high-stepping out of that room and getting some respect like you wouldn't believe. Even Noodles would agree. Chris Pronger, I looked better than Chris Pronger, and I had no points. This guy had 40 points. I had 3. I still got the respect. So I think that AI will favor me off the ice, not on the ice.
I love it. AI version of Strutty at the Roxy
taking
in like 40 years.
Taking a peek.
Exactly. Strutty and Noodles back in Edmonton.
Strutty, we got to let you go, but before we get you out of here, are you into summer short shorts yet or the tight spandex for groceries? Where are we at as far as that?
I actually went back. Okay, guys. Tough start. 6-7-7. I was so disgusted. I turned it around, though. I got it down. I ended up shooting pretty decent, but I think my shorts are too tight. I noticed that a couple of the drink car girls were lingering a little too long around me, and I think that's my fault. So I'm going to put these shorts just when I go out with my wife. She can enjoy the benefits of my working out, but not the drink car girls.
Okay. Well, that's very admirable of you. That's I like that idea, Strutty. Do your best out there. Be on your best behavior, and we always appreciate you finding time for us. Thank you, Strutty.
Okay, we'll talk to you guys later.
You got it, Jason Strudwick. The Oilers and the Leafs aren't playing anymore, so we can't have it on after the Leafs win 3 in a row or after the Oilers lose 3 in a row, but it's always great to catch up with Strutty.
Well, that's good. I mean, it's nice to affirm, like, a guy like Shane Doan, everything you hear about Shane Doan, great guy, all of that, and he's got a wealth of knowledge in hockey.
Sure.
So developing that, you know, chemistry with Brad Tree Living. They work together in Arizona. They've had a long relationship. And now you see that's the first step of Tree Living surrounding himself with the people
that
he trusts,
knows,
right?
Exactly.
Knows and trusts.
Exactly.
We had the great Bernie Nichols in here before the show, and I heard him talking to Jamie. He's like, you just can't really do anything without goaltending. And you just mentioned the Oilers. It's crazy to think that how good Draisaitl and McDavid were playing, that they're not still somehow involved. Like, they didn't have goal. You can dice it up any way you want, their defensive zone coverage, but they didn't get a save at the right time, and that's why they're not playing.
Well,
because those two were out of their minds.
They were.
And you look at it, if you look at the way that Vegas has played in the playoffs, Edmonton's the only team that gave them a run.
Yeah.
Like, they got a couple games off of them, and if they would have got some saves, they might have been able to get that series. But that's the only... Now, Florida got one off them last night. But before that, I mean, Vegas kind of just mowed through.
They have been.
Had
absolutely.
A great playoff. So.
They're still in the driver's seat. I still think they win the Cup final, but you got a series at a minimum, right? You're going back to Vegas at a minimum. All right, we're live at the RBC Canadian Open. It is getting loud and rowdy. I don't know who just came through here.
Corey Connors.
Oh, it's the Canadians are rolling through. Corey just came through. I love it.
Well, I heard the anthem going while Strutty was talking.
That's it. So Connors at 7-under, too. Nick Taylor's really played himself back into this tournament. He was at 4-over, I believe, at one point
yesterday.
There's
your guy right there.
I love Nick Taylor, and I love Tommy Fleetwood. I don't think it's a surprise that those are my two Pro-Am guys.
Dude, did Tommy Fleetwood make any combo with you whatsoever?
Absolutely.
What?
Well, we were talking about he's from just outside of Liverpool. He's an Everton fan. He was talking about being at the Jays game the night before. A lot of back and forth.
So you
with
had
Tommy.
Combos with him?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had combos with Tommy Fleetwood.
I told you to FaceTime me with him. Why didn't you do that?
I probably should have, but I don't know. Then it gets awkward.
That's
awkward.
FaceTime
with you.
Hey, I don't know you, but talk to my buddy on my phone.
I would have done it for you.
Possibly, but there's a lot of stuff that was private between him and I, and we'll keep it there.
Exactly.
I don't want to talk
you just
about
wanted to pull you
what
aside
I was getting into with Tommy Fleetwood. All right? Keegan Mathieson from the Dome ahead of the Jays game tonight on the Anthony Bass situation. A big win last night by the Jays. And we got our boy Graham Dillette will join us around the table in about 45. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right. Keegan Mathieson coming up in about 15 minutes live from the Rogers Center. Jays back in action tonight. We're live at the RBC Canadian Open. Some big groups just rolled through, and this place, like, being on the grounds is cool because they set it up that way. There's usually about a three-pack of groups that are back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah. Stacked.
Stacked. They go off in the morning and then go off in the afternoon, then they flip Thursday, Friday.
And the whole golf course follows them.
Basically the whole course. And the three-pack in the afternoon just rolled through 14, and now it's starting to scatter a little bit. There's still a lot of people here, and the sun's out. It's a beautiful night now.
It is.
Like, it's
it
a
is.
Beautiful, beautiful time to be up at Oakdale. But, you know, you take a look at the leaderboard, we're starting to see some things move and shake here a little bit. And I think we're going to have some big boys into the weekend because we've got a lot of Canadian flags sitting up top. We've got Corey Connors at 7-under, which I love.
That's two off the lead.
That's two off the lead. You got Harry Higgs at 6-under.
Finished?
Our boy. No, he's still on the course. He's probably on 18 right now. Adam Hadwin at 5-under. He's in the clubhouse. Who else we got here?
Dude, your boy Nick Taylor had a round today. I think he started at 3-over.
Yes.
3 or 4. It might have been 4.
He was 4-over at one point yesterday. He was 4-over on his 17th hole, I believe. 17th tee yesterday. He was 4-over.
Impressive.
And now he's legitimately back in the tournament. And you got McIlroy, who is 4-under now. He's playing the weekend. Like, Rory's here. You got tickets this weekend, Rory's going to be here. Shane Lowry's going to be here. Taylor Pendrith. You know, because that's a lot of what it happens, right? You buy tickets, you're like, all right, I'll come Saturday. I'll come Sunday.
Exactly.
Big dogs miss the cut. It's a different scene.
That's right.
You know, and you're going to see some big boys definitely make the cut. Tommy Fleetwood's at 3-under. So it's going to be a great weekend.
It's
Mike Weir
awesome.
Making the weekend. I love it. Yep. I saw Scott Piercy, who's still on the course. He's at 2-under. He chunked a wedge.
And then dug it into the ground.
And absolutely chucked it into the ground. And it was like his steam was coming out of his ears. And the amazing thing, like you talk about people watching, I was watching his caddy.
Yeah.
Because his caddy was like, I can't go get that club right now. Like, because there's a chance he'll be like, hey, go for a walk. Get away from me.
Snap it, yeah.
He had to wait for him to kind of walk it off. And then the caddy slowly went over, picked out, like, picked the club out of the ground, gave it a little wipe down.
We're going to have Graham DeLette on later. We're going to have to ask him if he's ever seen any swearing contests between player caddy out on the course.
I love that.
I think that dude, Robert Allenby, fired his caddy in the middle of a round. Middle of a round and told him to beat it and grab somebody from the crowd to carry his bag.
Well, didn't
Cup?
wasn't Matt Wallace and his caddy recently having a little dust up down 18? Thought that was the case.
Yeah.
Like something about caddy kept talking about a certain club he was going to hit. It got a little bit. It was all good afterwards, but you could tell something was going on. All right, hour two coming up. Keegan Mathison will join us. Graham DeLette will join us around the table. We're live at Oakdale, the RBC Canadian Open. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Mail It In Friday is brought to you by Boston Pizza. Weekends are better with fish bowls and frosty pints on the BP patio. Grab your sunscreen and let's have a weekend. See you on the BP patio.
You've been listening to Overdrive, powered by FanDuel. FanDuel, bringing you everything from the opening line to the final score.